Today is the feast, the traditional feast of Christ the King. And if you read the beginning of the bulletin, there's a wonderful description there by a professor of Old Testament theology describing that the differences between the monarchies that we know today and the monarchies back in the time of Jesus were very, very different. In those days, the old days, the monarch was considered to be somehow an offshoot or an extension of God's very presence. And in Judaism, of course, that is carried through through all the kings, David, Solomon, etc., and right on down to the time of Jesus, where you have the Roman government suggesting that Caesar is the son of God, which was proclaimed in Rome in the Roman theology. And the Jews are saying, not the Jews, but the early Christian church was saying, no, Christ, Jesus is the son of God. And there was a battle between the two theologies. The reading this morning is, as you know, from John's Gospel, and it is the scene where Jesus stands before Pilate, and Pilate is questioning Jesus about his own messiahship, if you will. Remember, there were many messiahs that were operating in the time of Jesus, many. And that's why I remember last week, Jesus says, you'll hear many coming in my name, but do not be misled, because there were, Pilate had a bevy full of people trying to be the Messiah, and he had to put one down after the other. And so here comes Jesus, which is, in his mind, another pain to deal with. So he's trying to dismiss it as easily as he can. But this is their dialogue. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" And Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." And Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" We have a gospel reading before us. Just take that right out. Would anyone like to share a thought? Tony?
If it were possible that an extremist Islamist and a Christian or someone of some other faith were able to sit down and actually hold a conversation, I think this is what it almost might be like. They may be challenging each other, you know, as far as this is my God. No, this is God. What's the difference between, you know, and then in the end where it says, what is the truth? God is God. God is Allah. God is Muhammad. God is God. I mean, that's what it all boils down to. Mm-hmm. And these people are just fighting over something. I mean, that's it.
Okay. That's a good thought. Anyone else? Yes.
But that's okay. I don't need that.
No, we need it.
With great success.
Very good. Thank you, Agatha. Anyone else?
Well, what when Tony was talking, what caught my attention was the difference between what is truth and what is the truth. I think those are two different questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Pilate was saying, what is
not the truth?
The truth is okay. Truth.
Okay.
I don't know if there's anybody that can make an objective to that.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Alan.
I just have one thought of what is truth. We all have our own truth. And I think throughout the eons of ages, ever since this was transpired, is that hopefully through our daily lives and living and suffering, we're wheedling down to what is truth. And Jesus came into the world not to condemn it, to show us the truth, the way, and the life. And hopefully that's going to win out ultimately as the truth. But we all have our own truth. So at third time, before thousands of years have passed of living, I don't know how he presented that and what answer he expected. What is truth?
Okay, thank you. Yes, Barbara.
I don't really know what I'm going to say. I mean, make it understandable. We believe as Christians in Jesus, etc. My thinking is that every religion is truth interpreted in their own way, but the end result should be love of God, and it matters how you get there, but you can interpret it in your own way. Does that make sense? To a certain extent.
That's a point.
Because if you interpret it totally in your own way, you get in trouble and then ego comes in. Mm-hmm. But I think there are many paths to Rome. That's what I'm trying to say.
Very good. Anyone else?
To me, this conversation doesn't have anything to do with faith. It has everything to do with power. And that's what the question is being asked. I think Jesus is saying, I have no power here. My power lies beyond here. And those who follow me, it doesn't matter who's in power. They're still going to follow me.
You what? Oh, did you all hear that? Okay. You want to say it again? It's a very good point. Very good point.
I don't think the conversation they're having has anything to do with faith. It has everything to do with power. And Jesus is saying that my kingdom has nothing to do with the power here on earth. It's of another place. And people who listen and follow to me, it doesn't matter who's in power. They're still going to follow what I have to say. It's a power struggle, not really a debate about faith.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Isn't that very true? Both those points, that truth, basically we all identify our own truth, and the struggle comes when my truth conflicts with your truth, and we have a problem. But the power thing is a very, very good point. Thank you.
I think... I try to remember this in context, you know, where it comes up, and also keeping in mind how critical Jesus was of the church or the temple hierarchy. And to say that, you know, he's talking to Pilate, who's a, you know, non-believer, or, you know, whatever they would consider him back in that time period. But he's saying, you know, I'm not all about that hierarchy. I'm about the truth. And that was kind of his whole mission, was to say what they're doing, you know, they're trumping themselves up, they're imposing rules, they've come up with a whole hierarchy, and they've lost their way. They're not, you know, helping the poor, they're not helping the marginalized, they're not helping the oppressed anymore. They're just too focused on themselves and their hierarchy, and that's not what I'm about. I'm about the truth. And I think that kind of gets back to the, you know, different religions and how we all pursue, you know, our faith is like, you know, there's a truth that underlies all of them. I really believe that, that every religion is based on the same kind of kernel of, you know, helping others and, you know, being stewards of the earth, that sort of thing. It's just a different interpretation and different rules that get imposed by different religions, and that's what we bicker about. And, you know, to me, that's just absurd. But that's kind of...
That's reality. Very good. Thank you, Teresa. Anyone else? Keep going, and I won't have to say anything. This is good. That's good.
What Teresa said just reminded me of something that I read, and I can't remember if it was the Dalai Lama or Thich Nhat Hanh, but anyway, he said, Paris doesn't need our prayers. Paris needs our practice, I think is what Teresa was saying. Paris doesn't need our prayers. Paris needs our practice.
Good. Anyone else? Dorothy? Graham almost passed out. Well, I applaud you because that is a very, very difficult passage, and your interpretation of it, all of you have touched on one part of it. All of them together probably bring us to the reality of what maybe the gospel is trying to say. When we talk about truth, someone made the point that, you know, each one of us has our own truth. And because my truth is my truth, it doesn't give me permission at any point, at any time, in any conversation to make sure that you're sharing my truth. If you look at what happens in relationships, it's just in normal conversations. Lots of times we find ourselves as, who pointed out ego? Barbara said something about ego. We get into this ego thing, and we hesitate to really look for truth. We already have decided what our point of view is, and our point of view is going to somehow come in conflict with, and we will be in conflict, and we'll argue to death about who's right. You see it so well in the political arena right now. I mean, who's right about any of the things that they're talking about? The only ones who seem to have a hold on truth, absolute truth, and this is where we get into trouble, when somebody decides that this is the truth, that it has to be this way, that unfortunately is a product of civilization and its development. Because in order to organize and to have some kind of a civilization that works, where everyone is included and somehow everybody has a part, at least a living part of a culture, someone has to decide ultimately how we stop the conflicts. And whether you're talking about ideologies or you're talking about political scene, the ideologies are always going to be in clash. And so someone decides, no, this is what we're going to do. That's what separates democracy from autocracy, from theocracies, from all the ghosts of kings and the past of queens and all the horrors of history. But the reality is, when someone decides that this is the truth, this is the absolute truth, you create an immovable and unchangeable problem that will exist forever. I turn to Roman Catholicism in particular, which I'm very familiar, maybe some of you are not. But once you define something as an absolute truth, then you're stuck with it forever. Some of the things that are being talked about today around religion, and Pope Francis may have brought a lot of them to the fore when he says, don't worry about your doctrines and your dogmas. Worry about people. Worry about what's happening with the poor people. Worry about what's happening with the injustices around the world. That's what we should be doing. But on the other hand, if you read the papers of late, he's getting a lot of pushback from the cardinals who are saying, oh, no, don't be so quick to do that. Because if you say that it's okay for divorced Catholics, for example, to receive communion, you are changing one of the most fundamental things that defines Christianity from the Catholic point of view. That there is a pecking order and some people don't belong. Some people by choice have removed themselves from the possibility of sacraments, and you can't change that. But Francis is trying to change that. He's trying to change the church's attitude about gay people. Just gay people. Not marriage, but gay people. They exist. They're people. What's the problem? You see, and when you have that hard-nosed point of view, somebody gets lost in the shuffle. And if Jesus had something to say when we talk about what is truth, it's not everybody's opinion, and I think some of you touched on it. What Jesus was talking about was, going back to the model of emperors in his day, the ones who are in charge are servants. From the very beginning in the Old Testament, when somebody was appointed a judge, that's how they started their first organized culture. They had judges. One was appointed a judge, he served for a period of time, and then went back to his farm. And another judge took his or her place. That's what they started with. And the purpose... I'm sorry? Well, we won't go there. But the reality is, you see, when they had somebody in charge, his or her purpose was to ensure that the bottom, the people who had no representation, the people who had no survival mode, the people who were at the edges of surviving, just being alive, that those people were being cared for. That's what the judge's job was. And when they decided they wanted to have a king, well, God says, okay, have a king. So they got David. And David did wonderful things and took care of the people, but he also messed up a lot of things too, because he started deciding what was supposed to be. And the temple alongside of him started to decide, this is what God really wants us to do. And that's what you have to do because we know better. And gone, now gone is the freedom to truly believe. Now you have a freedom to worship in accordance with the traditions or whatever we've decided, but your freedom to believe in a God who is open and to you, to have a relationship with God, impossible. So it wasn't until the time of Jesus, hundreds of years later, that Jesus came along and said, God is right here, right now, in you. And if there is a truth, and this is a hard truth that even the scientists can't even touch, the hard truth of belief is that every person on this earth is an extension of God's essence. The essence of who God is, however you describe God, however you've experienced God, the essence of what you call God is a part of every human being's life. It has nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with politics. When Jesus talks about having God as your sovereign, he's talking about being of the mind that everyone who is born into this world is loved and is part of the one body of the same God. If we could ever move to that page, it would be an altogether different world. Nobody would have control over God. No ritual would be the best or the finest. There would be no pecking order in terms of succeeding and being powerful and coming to be the cardinal or the pope or the imam or whoever. We all share the very, very, very same experience. But our personal experience is what really should matter to us. What do I experience about this God? And it may not be anything like anybody else's. And when we were in theology studies, we would say those kind of things. Some guys would get very nervous, but you can't do that because somehow you have to be able to control what God is doing. You just can't have people flying off in the middle of nowhere, not knowing where they're going or saying it's God. How do you know it's God? And immediately you start saying, well, it's got to fall into this parameter, you see. And if it doesn't fall into this parameter, if you're not following Francis, then it can't possibly be of God. You can't possibly be a prophet. You can't possibly be a person who has transformative powers in your very being, just doing the things you do every day. That's the truth. But not in a world where we are so caught up in definitions and boundaries and walls and barriers that separate us one from another to make sure ours is more important. No, ours is more important. You see where we've come in civilization after how many millions of years? The only thing we can do now is kill each other. Let's obliterate them so we don't have the problem. How could God ever, ever be part of that? I don't understand. That doesn't mean we don't have a problem dealing with the situation that Paris is dealing with. But how we deal with each other, how we train our young people to think. In a way, part of me is happy that young people don't go to church anymore. Because I'm hoping that in their own experience, God is going to find a way to bring them the realization of who they are as God's people. And they're not going to carry the burdens that you and I have carried our whole lives about worrying about the people across the street being our enemies, or the people up the road being somehow a threat, or the church down there taking our people and doing strange things with the Bible. That's not what it's about. If only we could create an atmosphere here in this church where everybody is free to believe as he or she believes, that everyone is encouraged and supported in having a personal relationship with the God of your experience, and then coming together to join in on the injustices and the poor and the broken and the ones who need support and all the rest of it. I don't think we really need the religions we've concocted over these many, many, many centuries. Do you pray? I bet you don't pray like I pray. And I don't pray like you do. Which means you talk to God in your own way, in your own space, in your own language, with your own experience. And so do I. That should enrich our relationship, not divide us, not keep us apart. So Jesus is saying, accept the truth. And those who are able to hear that, they are truly the followers of, and I want to say this, the Christ. It is not Jesus. Jesus was a historical person who was so close to God that he made God transparent. Through his very being, God came through. And that's the Christ who fits over every religion, over every theology, over every political system, over the whole of humanity. It's the one source from which we can not only survive, but we can thrive together as brothers and sisters with everybody on the planet, and maybe in this space. They just discovered a new planet this week, by the way. Another one. Let us pray for that. I know that sounds so idealistic and so 1960s, but it really, really is 2,500. That's really where we need to go. And back when they wrote the gospel, they understood that. And we cluttered it up. It's very simple. Anyway, amen.